Hi there, this is Alan Tudyk. I'm Wash. And at times I will wash myself just when I get dirty. This is Hypeable Podcast. Talk about Firefly, why don't you?
Welcome to Rewatchable, episode 8 for the Firefly episode Out of Gas. I'm sure that all the fans of Firefly have been waiting for us to get to this episode, because as anyone who isn't a newbie will know, and as anyone who is a newbie who's watched it will now know, this is one of the best episodes of Firefly, and maybe of television of all time, and I can't wait to get into the discussion for it. This week, it's myself, Selena, and I'm joined by Karen and Kyle. Who's Kyle, you say? Well, you already know him. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
It's just you again. Gosh. As we're explaining in all the podcasts this week, the artist formerly known as Tariq is now Kyle. So to avoid any confusion, that's what's going on.
Yeah, sorry for confusing you guys.
I'm
but now it'll be easier.
Yeah.
You guys won't have to be like, Tariq, Tariq, Torik, Tark.
Exactly. Now I'm just going to be even more confused, because on this show we already have an abundance of K's, and now there's just one more to the list. I know that Caitlin is with a C, but still, apart from me and Laura, you're all just K. It's all of you. It's very, it's very confusing.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, should be fun. All right, so before we get into the discussion for Out of Gas, the contact information, as always, I want to say this at the beginning and the end of every show, because this podcast exists partly, it exists only for you guys, and we love to hear what you think, whether you're a newcomer to Firefly who's watching along with us for the first time, or whether you've seen it all before and are sort of just listening to the newbies' reactions to everything. We would love to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com, where there'll be posts for this episode of Rewatchable, as well as all the other different podcasts that we do. I didn't say this at the beginning of the show, so I'll say it now. This is, of course, a spoiler-free podcast for Firefly, which means that whether you're a fan already or you haven't seen it before, you can listen to this without worrying about being spoiled. Myself and Karen have already seen the show, but Kyle has not. So you watch this for the very first time, Out of Gas. I'm kind of jealous of you, I have to say, because it was awesome.
I was almost dreading it because I got home at like midnight and I haven't watched either episode. But I ended up getting really, really into it, and I wasn't even tired at all. So
oh,
it was,
I'm glad.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so before we move into the episode, we want to read out a synopsis really briefly to remind everybody, because we know some of you didn't watch this before you listened. We know. Just remind everybody what happened.
Strandy blows a gasket, or a catalyzer, or whatever happened. The engine exploded, and it leaves the crew stranded with the dead engine, and Kaylee can't even fix it. This wouldn't be a huge problem if it wasn't for the failing life support and failing backup life support. So Mal sends the crew away in the two shuttles available to them, and stays behind in case someone responds to the beacon they sent out in search of help. Help does arrive, if you call it help, and they deliver an engine part they needed to restart Serenity's engine, but the captain of the ship tries to steal Serenity right from under Mal. Then Mal gets shot in the stomach. Mal crosses their double cross and gets the part he needs and sends them back on their own ship. After installing the necessary part and stumbling into the bridge, Mal passes out just before he signals for the shuttles to return. The episode ends with the entire crew back aboard Serenity, despite Mal never calling them back, and Mal recovering from his most recent brush with death.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That was amazing, that final scene. Oh my gosh. The first thing I want is to hear what you thought of it, Kyle, watching it for the first time.
It was awesome. It was so epic. I loved the way that they did everything, like the whole backwards, multiple storyline, plotline things going on, like being able to see what happened to Mal in a way from, like, you go, wait, why is he bleeding? What's going on? And then you get to see also the first time they interact with everyone and getting seeing Wash's mustache is just ridiculous.
Oh my God. I love how that's, like, something you need to point out.
It is.
It really is,
how could
though.
You not point out their gigantic porn stash?
So true.
But it was awesome. And then I loved the ending. And it was just, I love this episode so much. It was great. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember when I watched it for the first time, and I'm sure you can agree, Karen, this episode really stands out because it's so different. And also because, I mean, it's not just different for the sake of being different. It actually is. I mean, it's an origin story in every way. And I think those are always great. And I think Firefly does it better than most shows.
Yeah, maybe I was too sleepy, but they didn't ever point out how Wash and Zoe got.
No, they didn't.
Oh, that would have been really interesting. I would have loved to see her go from, like, one parallel to the next. That
it's probably when he shaved off his stash. She's like, oh, he's actually not a creeper underneath. But no, I feel like, in a way, I like that they keep that a mystery. But at the same time, I mean, it's one of those things that would have been amazing to see, I think.
You know, for a background story, basically we get backgrounds on a whole bunch of different characters. It wasn't boring. It didn't feel like, you know, they were just dumping all of this information on you. It was really nice to see the characters start from the beginning knowing already where they already were and what their relationships were like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was amazing. Okay, so as we already kind of talked about a little bit, this episode was obviously very stylistically different from past episodes of Firefly because there were not two, but three separate timelines to keep track of. There was the present, which was Mal alone on the ship, stumbling around, trying to save everybody sort of as the best he could. There was the immediate past, showing how Mal ended up alone on the ship where he did. And then flashbacks showing how each of the crew members met. I want to say met Serenity because that's really what this is. That how they first saw Serenity, how they first got to join the crew. Except, of course, for Book and River and Simon because we saw that in the pilot episode. So what did you think about the way that this episode was structured when you first saw it? Was it a little too confusing or was it fairly easy to keep track of everything?
It was confusing at first.
Do you think so?
Just at the, like, literally, like, the first minute of it, when it transitions from Mal on the floor to a bunch of laughing in the kitchen. And I'm like, are they laughing? Like,
oh, like, yeah, because you don't see him, first of all, in the kitchen. That's right. I remember sort of thinking,
exactly.
Well, is that happening
so,
at the,
like,
same
that
time?
That was the only confusing part. And then once you see him, you're like, oh, okay. But I was also expecting, like, a little text that says, like, 8 hours previously or something like that. And that never came. So I was, like, expecting that. But then as soon as you see Mal alive and well in the kitchen, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Mm.
I thought this episode just really hooked you in right from the beginning because immediately it's sort of right in the middle of the action where, you know, he's shot and he's obviously struggling trying to get some part to wherever he needs to go. And it is a little confusing in that you obviously don't know what's happened, but I thought it was a great way to just sort of suck you right into the episode from literally the first second.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I think that I absolutely love it. And I actually think that it's no, like, even though there aren't those, like, 8 hours later, and even though it is a bit confusing at the beginning, I love that because I feel like, especially when you look at television nowadays, like, they are spoon feeding everything to you because they're sort of going by the lowest common denominator. And I think one of the most brilliant things about Firefly, and probably one of the things that got it canceled, was that it didn't talk down to the audience at all. That it treats its audience like, we are fans of this genre, we're all enjoying this together, both the good and the funny and the scary and the all of it. We are not, like, they were speaking to their audience as their audience being intelligent. They are not trying to hook in everybody. And I feel like this episode does a great job of it because I'm watching this. I've watched a lot of television. I have no problem going between the storylines. And I love the fact that it takes me a few seconds, obviously, until they show me when they're on the Serenity, whether it's the flashback and whether it's Mal. And I think it adds such an ominous feel to it. The fact that we don't get the Serenity story linearly, but that we see it all fall apart and we know how it ends, except we don't, but but in that sense. And I like that, and I like that it challenges me. It's not like it's really, really confusing. It's just challenging enough. And I wish that television shows still did that.
I agree. There's not really a whole lot of mystery in television anymore, I don't think. It's so easy to guess plot lines and what's going to happen. And obviously, I mean, at the beginning of the episode, you're pretty sure Mal's going to live. I mean, it's not really that hard to figure that out. But
at the same time, I mean, yeah, you know Mal's going to live, but you have that thing of, well, what about everybody else? Like, nobody's there. Where have they all gone? You're like, are they all dead? Or is, like, when Zoe falls, is Zoe dead? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much, everything is up in the air.
Yeah, I was really just, like, the part when Zoe fell over, I couldn't tell what affected her. Like, he never said it was a concussion. I assumed it was, because you're able to deduce that. But, like, Simon never really says, like, oh, she got burned, or, oh, it's just, like, an after effect of, like, shock or something. I loved it, though. Like, I agree exactly with what you just said. I like the fact that they don't down talk to us. And I feel it's just sad, because, like, I know if my dad watched this, he'd just be going, what? I don't understand. What's happening? Like, Dad, just calm down. That's an actual
right. Well, so like that, but that's what I mean. Like, there will be people who are just casual TV people who will be confused by this. But I'm like, you know what? That's fine. Yeah, like, it doesn't always have to speak to everybody. And I also want to say that I really, really appreciate just underlining the fact that because we see it fall apart as we see Mal struggling. That really helped with the scariness of this. Or with the, you know, with the added effect of the music. That just, it made it so, and you see them say goodbye, and you know, because Mal is stumbling around on the ship, you know that in some way or another they are gone. And added with the music, it almost made me tear up at certain points, you know? And it wouldn't have done that to the same extent if it had just been a linear, oh, look what's happening to the ship. Oh, no, we have to leave. Oh, Mal is alone. Flashbacks to the past. Like, no, this was perfect. I loved it. Very, very emotional.
Yeah, this episode made me emotional in a lot of places, actually. And, you know, I'm not usually like that, but it's funny that we're, what, 8 episodes in, and you already feel so attached to all of these characters.
Yeah.
And seeing Mal, you know, dying is just so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. So in the very first scene, we kind of discussed this already. You know, the episode opens with Mal. He's all by himself aboard the Serenity. It's towards the end of the timeline of the episode. So what did you all feel before it moved into the flashback? What did you think about seeing this montage of shots of an empty Serenity? Like, what did you think might have happened for Mal to end up all alone?
I thought the Reavers came back.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I thought someone had, like, I don't know. I don't, maybe someone kidnapped everyone or they all escaped, but I definitely thought it was Reavers.
Yeah, I definitely thought that somebody kidnapped the crew and, you know, shot Mal or something. It was just really, really ominous what happened. And, you know, obviously until you get into the rest of the episode, there really isn't any clues as to what did happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're going to try to do this discussion based on storylines. We'll start with what happened chronologically during the engine failure, and then afterwards we'll move into the flashbacks, how we were introduced to the different characters and the varying degrees of hilarity that ensued in those scenes. So the episode opens with it being Simon's birthday. Funny stories are being shared around the table, and one of the things that I really liked was that it was Shepherd Book sharing funny stories. You know, he was like, they were all cracking up, and he was like, oh yeah, and then this monk said blah blah blah, and I was like, that's amazing, like, what a great use of his character, you know.
And it was so funny because obviously you don't really know what the joke is, but I found myself laughing along with them. Like, it was so funny, even though you had no idea what was going on, really.
Yeah, you're right. And again, it's like one of the ways of them just taking these characters and maybe making them slightly stereotypical at the beginning and then just turning all the stereotypes on their heads. So I found that really, really funny.
I still don't like him, so I wasn't laughing.
I'm not a fan of Shepherd Book, but I did like him in this scene. Well, I didn't like him. I liked the scene.
I did like the scene. The scene was
great. He's still hella shady to me. I'm sorry.
I know, right? I agree.
I'm just, yeah. And so, yeah, it's Simon's birthday, and River didn't get him a gift, but Kaylee did make him a cake out of protein powder. I thought that was adorable. And another little Kaylee-Simon shipping moment. And I like the Kaylee's line as well. What did she say? Give it a good blow. There's some foreshadowing for you. Oh, my gosh.
That's really funny, because that's exactly where my mind went.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's where her mind went.
I really like this scene, too, because Simon and Jane were like, this might have been the first time that they weren't at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. Jane was sort of picking on him, but it didn't seem as vindictive as it has up to this point. So it's kind of nice seeing them a little bit kinder to each other.
I agree. And Simon trying to tell that joke and him just failing. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny to me because I still don't like him. So I know that we're very different there, Kyle. So, but we'll get into that, I suppose. We'll get into it. We'll fight it out. But So yeah, I mean, there's a moment where another little River being interesting moment when she actually hears or senses or something the fire before it comes, because she, you know, she sort of says fire and he's like, oh yeah, I'll blow out the candles. But I mean, I assume that she is sensing the fire somehow. What about you guys?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I don't know how she can do that. And it's kind of frustrating. Like, I get that it's just part of her personality, but I wish she could be, like, more specific. Like, okay, guys, there's a fire. We need to prepare for this. Instead of just fire and then, you know, the thing blows up.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have any theories? I mean, we've only got a few more episodes to go and then the movie. So at this point, Kyle, do you have any more theories about what is happening with River, like why she's able to do stuff like this sometimes?
Not counting whatever it was that happened in the episode after this, mm-hmm. I definitely did think even before that episode that they operated on her brain and tried to just, like, I thought they were gonna like add something onto her brain that's extending some sort of function of her brain so that she could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely thought it was some sort of surgery that had happened to her, which is why she's so cray cray.
Interesting. I think that's a fairly solid theory. It makes a lot of sense anyway, with knowing what we know about River's past. All right, so the fire comes in, and this is such a powerful moment, because you just have this happy scene just completely shattered by this fire blast moving through the Serenity, and Kaylee is sort of frozen in front of it, but luckily Zoe saves Kaylee. But I guess in Zoe's fall, she suffers internal injuries somehow. Maybe because she's blasted back by the oomph of the fire, I suppose. Luckily not the fire itself, and she falls to the floor, and she passes out and is taken to the infirmary. And this leads to a very, very tense moment between Wash and Mal, where Mal, obviously something is horribly wrong with the ship. And I can just imagine, like, they can't go anywhere because they you know, because there's fire everywhere and they have to fix that. And so, and Mal realizes that he needs Kaylee in the engine room, and he needs Wash up sending a distress call. Wash refuses to leave Zoe behind, and Mal has to basically slam him against the wall and say, you know what, you will do this because I command you to do it. And this was a very tense and interesting scene, and I think it says a lot about the pair's relationship. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's totally understandable. Like, it's really interesting because both sides are really understandable. You can totally understand why Wash wants to stay with, is it Zoe or Zoe? I always get
Zoe.
Zoe, okay. And so you get that he wants to be, like, the helpful husband always at her bedside. But at the same time, you also understand Mal because they need someone to fly the ship and send a signal out. And so I found myself torn between these two characters. I was torn between whether or not I wanted him to stay with Zoe or him to go help Mal. Mm. But then when Mal gave him that whole speech, I was like, oh, dang. Yeah, he's the only one who could do that. He needs to go.
Exactly. And it's also, I mean, it's, I think it also says a lot about Mal and Zoe's relationship, because obviously Mal and Zoe are close, you know, they're family, I think. And the fact that Mal can still keep a clear head, even though Zoe is probably the person on the ship that he would be most distraught about losing, he's still able to see the big picture. And I think it's funny because Mal and Jane actually struck me as being the only two people who were able to keep clear heads in the situation. Jane because he wanted to save his own skin, and Mal because he wanted to save his crew and his ship. Did you guys notice that at all?
Oh, yeah. It was sort of interesting at first how Jane, he wasn't necessarily emotional, because you're right, he did keep a clear head, but he was very much like, okay, we need to do this to save everybody and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was because he wanted to save his own skin, whereas Mal, like you said, he's thinking of the bigger picture. And I think he realized that standing by Zoe's bed isn't going to do anything. I mean, there's nothing that he can do that the doctor, you know, the doctor's going to be the one to fix her. And he was thinking about possibly losing one life, Zoe, or everybody else's, and he had to just decide, you know, this is what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, we learn sort of through a number of very touching scenes where, you know, Mal talks to Kaylee, Inara talks to Simon. I thought that the Inara and Simon scene was very interesting and very moving. Shepherd Book talks to River. The two of them seem to have an ongoing sort of faith versus science clash. But we learn that the Serenity is slowly running out of air. They're only breathing whatever tiny bit they have left, and they have even less than they would have had because they had to use some of the air on blasting the fire into space. Which, by the way, that was smart. Like, even though
that
it sort of
awesome.
gave them a lot of new problems, I'm like, wait, that's a really great way to get rid of fire. Like, I wouldn't have thought of that. I thought that was brilliant. But yeah, so they don't have a lot of air left, and they're basically dead in the water. They're, what is it that's broken? I do know what it is. It's the catalyzer on the port compression coil. That is what's broken. And
dang.
I did have to look that up, though. So,
okay.
I'm not like a secret Kaylee in disguise, but I wish, but no. But so, yeah, the crew, they can't go anywhere, and they've only got a few hours until they start running out of oxygen. You can see it getting colder, too, in all the scenes. Like, they put on more and more jumpers, which is a nice little bit of continuity. And they are all sort of basically preparing to die, which is just terrible, especially when you juxtapose it with all the flashbacks of them remembering. That's what's so brilliant about this episode. Like, you have them all terrified and feeling like, well, this is it, we're all going to die. Then you get the flashback showing them all coming to Serenity. And then you have the flash forwards showing what looks like the end. Like, when Mal is stumbling around by himself, at this point, it felt like, well, they were all already dead. You know, like, he was the only one left, kind of thing. Oh, they were all passed out somewhere. So I feel like that, putting that this is the middle timeline, and having that be so emotional, that was only heightened by seeing both the past and the future from that point.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I think the right word is juxtaposition. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juxtaposition.
So the juxtaposition between the beginning and the so-called quote-unquote end was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what did you guys think about that scene where Inara talks to Simon? Because these are two characters that wouldn't interact under normal circumstances. And I was really, really happy to see them actually find some common ground, even if it was, we're dying.
I liked how Simon got all medical and he was going to be like, oh, well, when yeah. we suffocate, it's going to do this. And I was like, please, I don't need a description of this mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was adorable.
I like how Inara took his hand and, you know, was sort of comforting him. And it's funny because you're right, they don't interact a whole lot. But at the same time, you know, they've been living together for who knows how long, quite mm-hmm. a while. And they're both in the same position here, and they really understand, they're going through the same thing, so they really understand what the other is feeling. And so even though you might not consider them friends, it's obvious that they're still close, you know, mm-hmm. and there's still, like, a good relationship there.
Yeah. And even, it's funny, because I think even Jane has sort of an emotional goodbye to the extent that he's able to be emotional when he and Mal sort of look at each other, and he's like, okay... Well, and then he leaves. But I did like Jane in this episode, because even though he was clearly, he's always out for himself, he did have a clear head. And that was a nice, because instead of being the person to blow a gasket, no pun intended, and start shouting and raging and stuff, he was able to say, you know what, when Wash and Mal were fighting, he was like, how can you fight at a time like this? We're going to run out of air. He was able to see sense, and he was able to actually be smart, and I like that, and I liked him playing that role too.
I just wish it was for the greater good, you know, and not necessarily because he just wanted to live, but you can only, you know, expect so much out of Jane, I think.
Exactly. I feel like at this point, I just kind of take what I can get with him, because I'm like, I can't deal with the fact that he doesn't, you know, that he is just a selfish person. I'm like, I need to believe that there's not. So, and I know that's just me being probably sort of...
No, very, I agree.
Yeah.
I want to believe that he's not a bad person, because I still believe that Shepherd Book is the bad person. So
I'm still... Me too. God. I really hope we're right. Like, I really hope that it turns out to be right. Okay. So, Mal decides to send two shuttles out in opposite directions. On Inara's shuttle, he puts Inara, Jane, Kaylee, and Shepherd Book, whereas on the other shuttle, he puts Wash, Zoe, Simon, and River, mainly because he wants Simon and Zoe on the same shuttle. So there's a funny little question here in the doc. I have to give Kristen credit for this one. Which shuttle would you choose?
Simon, duh. I mean... That's not even a question.
Well, you would also have his crazy sister on board.
Oh, I don't care. She can hide in a corner while me and him make out.
What about you, Karen?
Oh my god!
Such deep reasoning there.
I would actually choose the same shuttle, just because. I mean, okay, Simon's the doctor, so it would be good to be with him in case you were injured. If Zoe wakes up, she's obviously going to be the one that's mostly in charge. She's going to make good decisions. Wash is the pilot. Mm-hmm. And okay, River's crazy, but, you know, maybe she can predict if something's going to go wrong, and then you can, you know, find your way out of that. And I just don't trust Jane, so I wouldn't want to be on the shuttle that he's on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I could change... Kaylee for Simon, because I'm not really a Simon fan, then I there would obviously be the second shuttle. But yeah, you know, I think you guys are right. I think obviously Wash and Zoe are probably my favorite characters, along with with Kaylee and Mal, but he's not an option. So that's the best bet, because it's the smartest people. But I think you know, you'd have a lot more fun on the second shuttle. Like, if you are going to die, these are the people to go down partying with, except for Shepherd Brook. But, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to be in with Shepherd Brook because yeah, he's probably right? evil. You know yeah, no, you're right. I'm choosing the other shuttle. Sorry, Kaylee. All right, we're all on that one. That's going to go down in flames.
Yeah. Can it fit seven people?
I don't know.
I'll
all right.
just sit on Simon's lap.
Okay, so that makes space. Wow, you're so sacrificial. It's amazing.
I know.
Wow. before they leave, Mal and Inara have another moment when he warns Inara not to trust Jane or let him take control of the shuttle. And this is just another of those little hints we have that the crew still don't trust him for good reason. And it seems like they might be building up to Jane. I mean, Mal expects him to turn on them at some point, I think. That's kind of what it feels like to me anyway, hearing him warning Inara about him in this scene. What do you guys think?
The episode after this just taints me.
Yeah, you shouldn't have watched it. Oh, yeah, you had to.
Yeah.
Your excuse.
I can't say anything because this is a spoiler-free podcast.
All right. But. Well, we have our newbies saying that. That's that's bad. But
I know.
But no, it was a great moment, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just in that. And for different reasons, too, because there was some really nice sort of romantic tension, I think, again, between Inara and Mal, where, you know, she begs him to come with them. She says, you know, you don't have to die alone. He replies with the very somber and sad, everybody dies alone. And they sort of leave the scene with them looking at each other. At this point, I'm like one of those Tumblr GIFs, just putting my hands together going, now kiss. Because, I mean, and again, I feel like at this point they are dragging out the romance, but this would have been, that like, if they were going to kiss, this would have been the time to do it. Because, I mean, they're most likely never going to see each other and both die, right? Like, Kyle, if that had been you and Simon, you would have seized the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, why would you not? If you both think you're about to die,
mm-hmm.
come on. I was honestly expecting it. I was like, okay, now admit your love for each other.
Yeah.
Come on. And then they just left, and I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I know. It was, and the way that the shot ended, you were sort of like, so, did they kiss? Like, are we supposed to assume that they did? Like, what's happening? Like, obviously they didn't, because we would have seen it.
What kind of person doesn't kiss the person that you're in love with when you know you're about to die?
Well, I guess their denial is so strong.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're really stubborn, and I don't think either one really wants to take that step forward without knowing for sure how the other person feels.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like as well, especially on Mal's side, Mal isn't going to admit even to himself that he actually likes her because he's so busy disrespecting what she does, you know? And I feel like he would maybe think if she sort of came on to him, it would just be like her job. So I think that is tough. But still, I would have liked to see a kiss between them. But then maybe if that had happened, that would have taken away from the general crew family feeling of the episode. Because it would have focused too much on that. And I feel like we need Mal to be, like, have a sort of an equal love for all of his crew at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
And of course we know that Mal's true love is Serenity anyway. So it wouldn't make sense for him to kiss someone else. You know, we have Mal wants to stay with the ship. And I feel like, I mean, first of all, he's doing it because it makes sense. But I also feel like he does fit that stereotype of the captain must go down with the ship. Like, he really, really loves Serenity.
Yeah, I really love that Inara was like, this isn't the ancient seas. You don't have to go down with your ship.
Yeah, exactly. And and also there's just the, I'm sorry, I lost track of what I was saying. How does that happen? Mid-sentence, I was fine. No, it's just an interesting sort of idea that, you know, he says everybody dies alone, but I think in some ways, like, if Mal had to die, I feel like he wouldn't feel like he was alone if he was on the Serenity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's more than just his love for the ship. I think, you know, with the death of the ship, who is he? What is he without Serenity? I mean, his freedom is gone, and he's just like everybody else. And I think that's unbearable for him. So if he were to lose Serenity, I think he would prefer to go down with it for that reason.
Definitely. But it's lucky that he stays on board because the ship does arrive to help him. They barter terms and end up boarding the ship. The captain shoots Mal, but Mal is able to turn events around and get the engine part they need, as well as kick these strangers off of his ship, which I gotta say, I loved it, but I thought that was a little bit unrealistic because, I mean, he did have a gun, but he was still shot in the stomach. Like, it would have been really easy for one of these guys to just shoot him again.
Yeah, this whole thing just didn't make sense. Like,
no.
It was one thing for them to shoot him and then get threatened or like get scared of Mal with the gun, but it's another thing for them to walk away completely and fly away.
Mm.
Like, I guess they didn't want the ship that bad, you know.
I know that was a bit strange.
I sort of chalk it up to the fact that he was pointing the gun at the captain, and obviously the captain doesn't want to die, and the other guys need their captain. And also, Mal's desperate. He's dying. He's not going to care if he gets shot, so he's going to take down as many people as he can before that happens. So, I mean, it's definitely unrealistic, but that's how I justify it in my mind, I guess.
Yeah, it's whenever these situations happen, I always wonder, why don't you just shoot the person in the head?
I know. You
don't have to deal with it.
I know, and I feel the only reason I want to bring it up, like nitpick this way, is because I felt like it was the weakest point of an otherwise perfect episode.
Absolutely.
That's true.
So I almost, like, this one scene kind of detracts from it overall, which is a shame because the rest of it is just so amazing. But so he does get the part, he puts the part on, he is dying and completely gone by this point, even though he did get a little bit more oxygen into the ship, which I guess was lucky. And he makes it back up to the cockpit. He sees the button. He has that moment of like, I made it on his face. And then he passes out without having pressed the button. And at this point it's like, oh crap, it was all for nothing. But when he wakes up, it's in the infirmary. The whole crew is present. They all came back to him, even though he never did call them back. It was Zoe who actually woke up and made that decision. I have to say, I really love this scene. But with the first time I watched it, I thought it was going to be some kind of like heavenly afterlife. Or I was like, are they going to make it like kind of ambiguous whether they all died? Because, you know, like the light is so bright and he's all clean and happy and they're all just sitting around him going, we came back for you. And it almost felt like the end of Titanic.
I was just thinking that.
But didn't it, though? You know, when they all, like, welcome her back to the ship. Spoilers, I'm sorry. And I was like, I wonder if they could sort of do, like, a trick on us and say, oh, well, maybe they're all dead now.
That'd be quite a twist, wouldn't it?
I know, right? But yeah, that was, I remember when I watched it the first time thinking, wow, if they just left it like, that would have just bothered me forever, because I would have been like, the entire rest of the show didn't happen, they're all dead. But you know, the next episode is so gritty that's not, wouldn't be them being dead, so that's fine. But at this point, I thought it was just a little funny. But I mean, the fact that they did all come back for him, what does this say about the crew's trust in Mal and just their feelings about being a team in general?
I love that they're one huge family.
Mm.
I love it. Like, just the fact that it's kind of like, this is going to be the weirdest parallel ever, but it's kind of like a space cowboy Brady Bunch.
Right.
Like, they're all just together and they're all just like happy, and they fight. And there are real differences between a few of the characters, but they get along anyway, just for the sake of being a family and being on the ship. And so I feel like with any other crew, it would have been completely different. But because it's the crew of the Serenity, it all ended up working out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that it really shows the loyalty that Zoe has to Mal, and, you know, she can't bear to leave him behind. And the greatest thing I still think about that is it's not romantic at all. They just have a really solid friendship, and I love seeing that without it having to be romantic, because I think they go down that path in television and, you know, in film too often. But I also think it shows, you know, that the crew is more than willing to go against what Mal initially said, because they didn't want to leave in the first place. They didn't want to leave him behind. So, you know, Zoe's like, no, we need to turn back. And they're like, oh, okay, let's go. Because, yeah, you know, they're really loyal to him too. And they care about him as much as she does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, it's just another thing you said. And it also says a lot about Mal, that he sort of lets his defenses down with them, I think, towards the very end. We see them become a family, or just acknowledge the fact that they've been a family all along. I thought that was beautiful. So moving into the flashbacks, we get the origin stories of how each crew member ended up on the Serenity. And they were hilarious, and some of them completely, I would say, very, very unexpected. Zoe, first of all, I mean, that's fairly straightforward. She walks onto the ship with Mal just after he buys it, and she is not impressed. And she's just, in general, very skeptical, but it's clear that Mal is just absolutely in love. And so the next one we see is Wash, as Kyle pointed out, with his porn stash. It's the biggest shock of the episode to me, anyway. And he's really, you know, he's very like, yeah, I'll take the job. And Mal sort of points out that he apparently came with really, really high recommendations. But what's interesting is that Zoe doesn't like him. She's like, there's just something about him that bothers me. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And like, I don't know if this is too spoilery, but do they ever explain that in the series? About the transition between liking him and disliking him?
I don't know. I mean, I'll try answering this, because I don't remember that much, so whatever I say isn't really a spoiler. But I have a feeling that, I mean, we do get to see a bit more of their relationship, but I don't think we ever go back and explicitly explore that part of the story.
Okay, that's
Is that fair to say, Karen?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Okay, I think that would be one of the most interesting storylines.
I totally agree with you.
Because they work so well together, and to see her dislike him so much is just really, really, really interesting.
Mm. But, you know, I feel like, I mean, on one hand, I feel like if they'd had more seasons or movies or whatever to explore this, they might have gone back and fleshed out a lot of these backstories more. You know, we're talking about Jane, too, how there's so much story to tell there that they could have spent a lot more time on it. But I almost feel like because the show ended when it did, and because there was only one movie, just this part of the backstory, if that's all we're going to get, I feel like it's sufficient. Because sometimes you don't need, this is kind of going back to them not needing to spell everything out for the audience. I kind of like that there's a missing moment between Wash arriving, like this totally weird mustached dude, and Zoe being like, yeah, no, I don't know, I don't like him. And then them ending up this married couple that shouldn't work on paper, but that just works so well together, you know? I kind of like being able to leave that part of the story a mystery. But maybe that's just me.
No, I agree completely. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. And,
Oh, one more thing. Have you guys seen the video edit at all of, I think it might be in the bloopers for Firefly, where Mal and Zoe are wearing mustaches too?
No.
It's so funny. You need to
That's
find
awesome.
It.
We'll have to look
at
that.
It's the bloopers.
Well, Kyle can't look at the bloopers until he's finished the show.
Yet.
But then, yes, we'll definitely be watching those. So, and then we meet Inara. She sort of bargains for renting the shuttle on board, and it's all very businesslike. But there's definitely that already there. They're already flirting with flirting, if you will, when she tells him that, you know, she'll never service him or any of the crew. And he's almost like, yeah, I'll take that into consideration. She's like, you want me. You want me on your ship. But in that pause, you see that, yeah, he does want her. And that's just a funny little moment there between them. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I loved how the connection was and how like clear Nara was. Like, oh, you don't even have to worry. I'll be on the ship. Like, like you're going to pick me. Don't even try to talk like you're not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She also revealed in this little scene that she supported the unification, which is just a nice little piece of background on her character. And so that's just another little way that her and Mal just aren't destined not to get on from the very beginning. But it also just shows how she changes during the course of the show, because clearly it's more to her than just a place from which she can do business. She actually cares about these people, and I think she comes to care about whatever their cause is too.
You know, it's interesting to me that she chose Firefly, or that Mal chose to have a companion on board, because she's like a certified like companion person, and I feel like it'd be so easy for someone to like get her to come to them, and then they can ambush Mal with the Firefly and be like, "Ha, we got you." Like that,
absolutely.
That's really interesting. Like, he's willing to, like, I'm assuming he thought about it, because Mal's not a dumb guy, and I feel like he's willing to risk that, I guess, in order to help Inara, I guess. Right? Yeah.
Well, I think that the benefits just outweigh, you know, the risks, because everything that she said was true, that, you know, she can lend credibility to him, and she figured out that he wasn't necessarily going to be doing, like, the most legal of jobs, and so I think she convinced him in that way that it would be good, and he just sees those benefits outweighing the risks.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I think that, I mean, they've mentioned it a few times in the show how having a companion on board gives them something that they need. And also it gives them a bit more money, if nothing else. You know, she is paying for the shuttle. And so Kaylee's introduction was probably the most surprising of everyone. This is funny, because they've sort of hinted at her perhaps being a bit less innocent in some ways than she lets on in previous episodes. But this was sort of the moment when that came to light, because they had actually hired a different mechanic, this really funny surfer dude guy.
Who's really, really hot, too.
He was. Well, clearly Kaylee thought so, too, because she came aboard because the surfer guy and was taking her to the engine room to hook up, because engines did something for her, and she just totally owns him and everybody when she just is able to just say, yeah, this thing is wrong with the engine, and I can fix it, and machines kind of speak to me, and all of those things, and Mal hires her on the spot, which just, I mean, how did you guys feel about seeing this? Were you just completely confused?
Oh, I was confused and concerned, and just, I was like, huh? and I just loved it, though. It was like, it was amazing, because it was one of the most interesting ways that any of the crew members have gotten on the ship, without a doubt. And I loved how dumb the mechanic that they hired was. Like, he was just like, what? What is that? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And Kaylee was just like, oh, psh, right here. I'm pointing right at it. Like, I love it, because it implies really how smart Kaylee is and how much a mistake Mal made when he hired the first guy. And so I love that.
Yeah, I don't know why Mal called the first guy a genius mechanic, because he obviously didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, that's funny. And I think that also says just, I mean, Mal probably doesn't know anything either, you know?
That's true, yeah.
So for all he knew, he was a genius mechanic. And it just shows that sometimes, I mean, it wasn't all just meant to, you know, sometimes things are just meant to be, if you will, and it wasn't all just whoever they hired turned out to be amazing. It was a nice twist. I do think it's so funny, though, because this, when I first watched it, it caught me completely off guard. Like, this was not Kaylee in my head. Like, this was just not, this just didn't make any sense to me. But I loved it in retrospect, and it fits her character so brilliantly. I love that there's these two very polarizing sides to her. She's so innocent, But because she's so innocent, she's also just so free. You know, she's high on life, if you will.
It's really interesting because, like, you have this Kaylee who's just hooking up in an engine room, and then you have the Kaylee from, like, a few episodes ago who was asking Inara for help with what to do with Simon. Like, she was asking for romantic help, but she clearly doesn't need help getting the men. I guess she just needs help, like, attracting them to get into, like, a boyfriend state, maybe.
Yeah. So do you think maybe this came a little bit too out of the blue?
Well, I do think that they kind of contradict each other, and I feel like they weren't thinking when they decided, oh, let's make her have, like bring her on in the most random of ways, because with the previous character development, that doesn't seem like anything that she would do. And then this was just like, oh, hello. So I do think maybe they could have thought it out better, maybe, to make it more succinct.
See, I'm not so sure about that, because I think a lot of the reason why Kaylee needed help from Inara was because Simon was, you know, not really giving her a whole lot. Like, she had a lot of trouble reading him. And so I think that if he was just like any other guy, maybe she wouldn't have been having so much trouble. But because it was Simon, because his personality is so distant and he tries to be so respectful, that she just had no idea what to do with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, another thing I wanted to ask you guys about this scene and about Kaylee in general is that obviously we know that something has happened to River that makes her almost have these prophetic abilities. But, I mean, is anyone else sort of a bit confused about or suspicious, or there's something more going on whenever Kaylee talks about the machine speaking to her? Because she does that a lot. You know, Serenity to her is a real live being which actually speaks to her, not literally, but that she senses when something is wrong. Do you think this is just her being a natural mechanic, or are they throwing in a little bit of mystery as to how exactly she's doing it?
I think it's just her being a natural mechanic. Like, okay. I feel like she's just so in tune with everything. And, like, she can tell from, like, every creak and everything, like, sound that comes out of Serenity. She can be like, oh, wait, that doesn't sound exactly right. Something is going to go wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I was just wondering, because it felt to me a little bit like, you know, she just comes in, she works with her dad, she doesn't have maybe any kind of really special training, but it's almost just like, I mean, how does she just know? But I guess it makes sense.
I mean, if you brought magic onto the show, I would love it a whole lot more than I already do.
Really? I think it would be a bit too much, actually.
Oh man, I see. Right now, as a Firefly fan, I'm just a fan. I'm not a super fan. I'm not in love with it. It's not the best show I've ever seen, and I'm not like, ah, Firefly. So I'm like, This show's great. It's pretty good. I really like it, but I'm not head over heels like Laura or Jimmy. I don't think I'd watch it again, actually, but I like it.
So when River whips out a wand in 2 episodes' time, you'll be all about it.
Oh, heck yeah. I'd be like, hell yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Good to know. So the final introduction we get is Jane, which might possibly be my favorite. He is attempting to rob Mal and Zoe, and Mal turns the tables and offers him the better deal, including getting his own room. But, I mean, even though I loved it because I thought this had some really, really great lines, I do have some questions about this. First of all, I bring back my old, why don't they just shoot them? Like, you know, whenever Mal starts propositioning Jane, I mean, I know the other guys were supposed to be really stupid, but they can't be that stupid. I mean, come on. It would take, while Mal is distracted, just shoot them. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, that felt stupid.
It was 3-2, and they could have just shot them.
Exactly. And I know that they were saying, oh, well, then you can't find the cargo, but come on. I don't know. So, first of all, there was that. And then also, I'm wondering, why would Mal do this? Because I realized that at this particular point, he saw that Jane was an opportunist and that this was the way to save their lives. But at the same time, why not just offer offer Jane this and then leave him on a moon somewhere because, or somewhere where he wouldn't die because Mal wouldn't do that, but just leave him behind because Jane is a criminal. He's standing there threatening to kill him. Surely it doesn't make sense to just offer some random criminal room and board. I mean, I don't know. That wasn't very logical to me.
Yeah, I have trouble seeing the logic in this too, because it feels like a short-term fix that, yeah, they're going to get out of this right now, but then obviously, like, Jane just turned around and shot his partner in the leg, so yeah. He obviously doesn't have a lot of loyalty. But at the same time, Mal seemed pretty impressed by Jane's ability to track them down, so I think he was looking at it as Jane could be useful as long as he kept him on his good side. You know, as long as he stayed on his good side. So I think there is a little bit of risk there. But again, maybe the benefits just sort of outweighed that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what
it is. I feel like this is like the TV equivalent of a magician's trick where like they get you to look over here, but really something else is going to be happening with Shepherd Book. Like, oh, people are like down on like Jane. Jane's so evil. Jane's a horrible person. And then like at some point you're just going to be like, oh, Jane. I don't know. I can't think
Jane
of anything
is,
else.
It's going to be like Jane is going to be the only one figuring out the truth about Shepherd Book and then nobody's going to believe him.
Exactly. Yeah. I really feel like this is just a throwaway thing because it's so easy. It's so simple. It's like the simplest plot in the world. Like, why do you trust Jane if Jane's going to like turn on you? And then you discover, oh, he's the like culprit. He's going to be like the evil person. But nope, it's totally going to be Shepherd Book.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with his hair. I mean, Shepherd Book's hair is ridiculous.
River doesn't trust it, so we shouldn't either.
Meanwhile, I'm just sitting over here being completely quiet.
Good. That's a good thing to be right now. I believe that's hitting all the beats of this episode. Does either of you have anything else you would like to add?
No.
Just that this was an excellent episode. It's definitely one of my favorites.
Absolutely, mine too. This is probably my favorite episode, just because I'm a sucker for origin stories, I'm a sucker for flashbacks, and I'm a sucker for good use of music, and this had all of the above, and I love
it. It had a little bit of everything, you know, it had some action, it had some mystery, it had some really emotional points, but also some really funny parts, and it just was a really solid episode.
Mm.
I do want to say, I wasn't able to comment on Jamestown because I couldn't make it, but the first thing I saw, I think that was the episode with Shepherd's hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was, that's why his hair is so big, it's full of evil.
His hair is full of evil rather than secrets. I love it.
Yeah, Jamestown. I know I am probably taking this all out of proportion, but just everything about him is so evil.
Did you like Jamestown?
I did. I loved Jamestown. I thought it was amazing. And I don't know why Laura hates it so much, because it was like her least favorite episode.
I know. I don't understand. I mean, Laura, we should just say, she's really sad that she's not on this episode, because this is her favorite. And we can understand why, because it is so good. But I know, I don't understand. Jamestown is amazing. And I think what I like... Huh?
She just really doesn't like Jane. I think that's what it comes down to.
The thing about Jamestown, though, I mean, not to get totally off topic here, but it's not really about Jane. I mean, yeah, it is about Jane, but it's about a lot of other things, too, you know? And I think Jamestown is probably the funniest episode of Firefly.
Oh, yeah, it was hysterical. Yeah. Plus all the stuff that happened with Simon and Kaylee. I was just like,
yeah. Absolutely. It was really funny. All right, so getting back on track, we want to share our favorite lines from this episode. I will start with mine, which is actually an exchange at that scene with where they recruit Jane, where Mal says, well, looks can be deceiving. And Jane replies, not as deceiving as a low-down, dirty deceiver. Mal says, well said. Wasn't that well said, Zoe? Zoe said, had a kind of poetry to it, sir. I loved it. I loved Zoe and Mal's back and forth with the stupid robbers here.
Yeah, that was hysterical. I love the one of the things about the show is that how it's all Southern and like really low down and low key, like jokes and like stupid jokes and like just, I don't know, like whenever they say something and like grammatically incorrect, I love it. I don't know why, I just do.
I do too, actually. Isn't that weird? But like, I think it just adds so much to the show. Like, it really just sets you into that time period and their culture, and I think it just adds so much so subtly. My favorite was when Mal is waking up at the end of the episode and, you know, they're all talking and they're said, glad to have you back and that sort of thing. And Simon kind of shoos everybody out because Mal needs to go back to sleep and rest up and get better. And Mal kind of puts his head down and then he snaps it back up and he says, you all going to be here when I wake up? And I was just like, you know, at that point in time, he's so vulnerable. And, I mean, obviously he cares about his crew, especially in this episode. You can really tell that. But I think that one line just shows you how much he needs them and how much he really loves all of them. And it was just really beautiful and kind of emotional for me.
Yeah, that was, oh, that was a gorgeous. And again, Mal just totally laying down his guard. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I suddenly can't speak English. But, you know, and I know he's on a lot of medication, but it was just adorable. And it's just a sign of how much Mal loved these people. It was beautiful.
Well, my favorite scene. I don't know why I said that. My favorite scene.
That's your new accent. Your new name, new accent, new everything. My favorite scene.
My favorite scene is when Zoe and Mal are looking at the ship for the first time. And Mal says something about getting her running, and Zoe's like, getting her running again? She's like, yeah. And Zoe's like, so she's not running now? And Mal's like, not so much, but she will. Like, I love that. Like, among all of the other things that is concerning to Zoe, there's also the fact that the ship doesn't run. And she's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And Mal is so optimistic. Like, he doesn't even see it as a roadblock, you know? He's just like, nope, we'll get her running. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What I really want to know is why he chose Serenity. Like, at the end of the episode, you see the ship that the guy that Mal was talking to was talking about was this other gigantic, like, torpedo-looking ship that said it will last you the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And then he looks across and he sees it at a junkyard. And I'm like, does he have, like, an affection for Firefly ships?
I know.
Like, it's really odd because it's not shining in any sort of way. It's not like, it doesn't look pretty. It's just off in the distance. And I'm like, what attracted you to that ship? I guess it was just fate, I guess.
It was love at first sight, dude. Like, that's what it was. I really think that's what it was. And I loved it.
I'm not like a car person. And I equate this to like people with cars and like falling in love with cars and building cars and stuff. So,
well, this was,
kind of don't get it. But
well,
still.
It was kind of echoing that moment when they had hired a different mechanic and then Kaylee sort of made her way into their lives. I feel like there's a little bit of, without it being really like a really big part of it, there's a little bit of fate involved, you know, like he was actually there looking at a different ship, but he was drawn to the Serenity. He knew this is my ship. And I like that about this, you know, the show that it does that sometimes.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we heard earlier in one of the earlier episodes, I think it was one of the first few, that criminals tend to like Fireflies because they have all those hidden cubbies and everything like that. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that is why he chose it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really want to say it's fate, but I think that there's definitely something else going on there where, you know, you just look at something and you're like, no, this is the one that I want. Like, people love to rebuild houses when they're all, you know, crappy and run down and everything, because it just means more when you get it all fixed up and it's truly yours.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that makes a lot of sense. So our favorite scenes, my favorite scene, I've been wavering between all of the flashback scenes, but I think in the end, it's probably the wash scene because of the stash and because of the way that Zoe just doesn't like him. And because I like the fact that she doesn't, and then they end up married. So that's mine. How about you, Karen?
My favorite scene, yeah, it was really hard this time around. Usually I have a couple, but I really wanted to say, like, all of them. Can I just say, like, the whole episode? But no, mine was when they're all sitting around the table laughing and sharing in those jokes, because it was so nice to see them as a family and see them all as friends and really just enjoying each other's company. And like we mentioned earlier, even Jane and Simon weren't really fighting. You know, it was this kind of back and forth that friends might have. And it was terrible what happened like 30 seconds later. But in that little moment, it was just like pure happiness. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle?
Oh, definitely the scene where Kaylee's getting hired, because it was so like random and adorable and awesome and surprising, and just, I loved it. Plus, there's a really hot guy in it. I was just like, oh, hey.
Yes. Definitely. Very, very good scene. That was almost mine, too. My favorite. I want to share some fun facts with you, because actually, I mean, this episode is one of the probably considered the best episode of Firefly by the majority of the fan base. And there's some really funny sort of behind the scenes stuff to bring up. First of all, in this episode, the ship is, you know, it's crippled by the failure of the catalyzer and the port compression coil. I could say that three times fast. And it's actually been brought up two times before, according to Wikipedia, on the show. In the pilot episode, she asks Mal to buy a new compression coil. And in the train job, she complains that somebody won't replace that crappy compression coil. So that's actually kind of an interesting bit of continuity. Like, this isn't just something that randomly happened, and it actually isn't something, because Kaylee was sort of putting herself down that she didn't notice this before, but I mean, she had noticed this before. So I thought that was a really neat little background thing. And
yeah, I mean, I love it when they have details like that. I just love small connections throughout episodes. Like, it's one of the reasons I love Doctor Who so much, because so many little things are connected to one another and you don't really realize it until, like, you reach one penultimate episode. But, like, the fact that she's mentioned this before, and, like, I think hardcore fans are like, ah, she's, like, even hardcore fans while the show was airing or while the show was originally on could be like, oh, but she's mentioned that before. Like, they should have fixed it. I love it.
Yeah, me too. And the second little piece that, oh, this is almost like heartbreakingly sad, but also really cool. In the DVD commentary for this episode, Alan Tudyk, it's actually revealed that he took the big red recall button from the set. He gave it to Joss Whedon after the show had ended, and he told them that if Whedon ever managed to get the series renewed, he could press it to call back the cast.
No!
And it's never been pressed! Well, except if he pressed it for Serenity, the movie. Let's just pretend that happened, because otherwise that's way too sad. Or maybe that he doesn't have to press it, and they'll all just come back anyway.
Oh, it is so sad, though. Like, you can just really tell how much, not even that, I mean, we all know how much Joss Whedon put into this show and how much he cared about it, and it was his baby and everything, but even all of the members of the cast, and I'm sure the crew too, like, everyone was just so invested in the show, and that makes it even more heartbreaking that it didn't get to go on any further.
Honestly, I think that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why this show stands out with fans so much more than previous shows. Because I think fans like being fans of shows where the people who make it actually care about it as much as we do. Like, there's nothing worse than being a fan of something and then having the actors go, yeah, this really, I mean, this was just a job. Or the fans are really just kind of crazy. Or, yeah, I'm not really into the story. Like, I just go on set and do my job. You know,
I bet that's how Twilight fans feel about Robert Pattinson.
I think that's how Twilight fan feels in general. But, yeah. And that's actually how, I mean, I feel that way about certain shows that I'm not going to bring up here because it potentially affects podcasts. but it's just the thing about Firefly, and as well, you know, you compare it to a show like Dollhouse, where I'm actually one of the few people in existence, I really should not admit this on this podcast, but I'm actually one of the people that prefer Dollhouse to Firefly. Like, I like Firefly, but I love Dollhouse so much. But the actors and Joss Whedon and all those, they aren't interested in going back for Dollhouse. You know, like, when I was speaking to Alan Tudyk, plug, I interviewed him. just slipping that in there casually. But anyway, when I was speaking to Alan Tudyk, and I spoke to him about Firefly, and you could hear the passion in his voice, even probably after speaking with a million different journalists about it and appearing at like a ton of conventions. He still has that. Firefly is one of the greatest things I've been a part of. I would love to go back. I love it. Everything. Then I sort of turned the conversation to Dollhouse, and he was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, that was fun. And you could feel the difference where Firefly is just, it just burns with the passion of these guys know that they're doing something so great, and the cast just get on so well, and that really comes across on screen. Like, they just became a unit straight away. Like, this, the family that we saw in this episode, like, that's real. That's really happening, and I feel like that's what makes it so special.
Agreed. 100%. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
So. I am going to counter that with 1,000% agreed.
And wow, infinity that. Plus one.
Oh, dang.
And anyway... The final thing we have is a bit of feedback from Haley. Thank you for writing in. Haley writes, thanks again for another great podcast episode. I'm enjoying listening to you guys and rethinking Firefly episodes that I didn't appreciate as much before. Jamestown was one of them. I've always loved the dialogue in it, just like in every other episode, and the awesome song, but this is the first time I've considered the science versus religion aspect of or the Be a Man theme reflected in both Jane and Inara's storylines. Also, I had completely forgotten how funny Simon could be until now. Great stuff. Thank you for your comment, Haley, and thank you to Caitlin, who was the one who brought all that to our attention, because I didn't have any idea about this stuff either until she brought it up. And, so thank you so much to Haley for submitting her feedback. We would like lots more feedback on the next episode, please, and thank you. You can do that in one of several ways. You can tweet us at re_watchable. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. My name is Selena.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kyle.
Yay! All right. Bye, guys.